Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Oh, hey, big guy. What's going on?
Not much, Mike. What's going on with you?
I was going to say not much, but that wouldn't be very much of a sort of a conversation, would it? It'd be like, yeah, not much. Okay, see you later. Bye.
It's the Keith Walsh Podcast. It's essential like your breakfast. It will get you up and going, learn some things you didn't know. Yeah, it's the Keith Walsh Podcast. It's the Keith Walsh Podcast. Give you energy like Buckfast. And if your head's in a pickle or you're looking for a giggle, it's the Keith Walsh Podcast. Yeah.
See you later. Good chat. I just haven't finished my breakfast.
Oh, for fuck's sake. What are you having? Something sort of vegan, I suppose, and really good for the planet. What kind of milk have you got there?
Linda McCartney's. I've got, I'm not eating vegan. I'm eating eggs.
Oh.
I'm trying to be healthier. Like, I've given up sugar. So for a little while, I'm going to eat some eggs because I need my protein. I need to get my proteins up.
Yeah. I hear you. I have a dry fried egg every morning, as you know.
Hey, dry fried egg.
Yeah, dry fried egg. but we got a gift, actually, over Christmas of some salts. These little bottles are like whiskey miniature bottles full of various salts. So you've got Himalayan pink salt, something other salt. And of course, we were so delighted to get this present. Actually, we were, because we like these kind of, we have a whole lazy Susan in the middle of our dining table full of condiments, of spicy, salty sort of bits that you can put on food. And one of them has got, it's got black salt and it's really sulfurous. So when poor Jimmy, who we got to put it on his...
you got his guinea pig, Jimmy pig. You try everything out in Jimmy.
I like that, actually, the Jimmy pig. Yeah, I'm going to use that in future. but it's like a smell of a fart, or the taste of a smell of a fart. It's a real sulfurous thing. And then Sally Ann decided, okay, what do we do with this salt? What are we going to do with it? And tofu fried eggs, scrambled eggs. So you kind of get your tofu, you scramble it up and whatever, and you put this stuff into it. So it gives it that eggy smell. And it's the one thing you don't like about eggs is the eggy smell. So what the fuck would you put this stuff in it for? You know what I mean? And this was the happy pair that was saying this.
Okay, so if you're not getting that eggy smell from your tofu scrambled eggs, throw this stuff in and it'll give you that horrible eggy smell.
You know, the one fucking thing that, you know, when you fry an egg, it does kind of leave sometimes a bit of a reek about the house, that kind of, you know, the eggy smell. Yeah.
Yeah, egg
and
sandwich.
This is
smell,
like eggy smell on acid.
Wow. Yeah,
and this stuff is just fucking rank.
We mentioned, I don't know why, but I think you mentioned Rotorua in the last... Did you mention the town Rotorua in the last podcast?
I did, because it was on a traffic report.
That's right. You were listening to...
Yeah. Have you been to Rotorua?
Yeah, I've been to Rotorua. Have you been to Rotorua?
Yeah, what a fucking shithole.
But it fucking smells of eggs. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh, well, listen, there's volcanic stuff. I mean, we did the walk in the morning where you go to the graveyard. And on a cool morning, you can go up there, and the air vents are so close to the surface that the gravestones are sort of got this gas coming out. They're hot and steamy. But unsurprisingly, we have relatives, actually. Sally Ann has relatives who live in Rotorua.
No way.
Yeah, but they live on the expensive side. So there's obviously, you know, a wind. There's a so if you live, I don't know which one it is, West Rotorua. Any Kiwis listening can tell us. Let's say the westerlies are the prevailing winds on West Rotorua. It's far better to live on West Rotorua because you know.
Will you text into their show that you listen to the morning show in the evening on from New Zealand and go, what's the story with living on one side of Rotorua?
News Talk ZB, I'm absolutely fucking addicted to it.
News Talk ZB?
No, ZB.
What's ZB?
I don't know. It's Zealand something or other. I don't know the fuck what it is. It's not News Talk. I don't know. New Zealand, but it's ZB.
Zubeland. Yeah, you're listening to ZB, right?
You're really a little wordsmith this morning, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I love the old spoonerisms. That's mad. So, yeah, Rotorua. We went to Rotorua, myself and my wife, during our year around the world. And, yeah, stinky. But we went into one of these places where they have the hot springs. You can get into little hot springs baths and stuff like that. And I had a Veruca, which was doing my head in. Because we were traveling around. And you know the way when you're young and you're traveling, you don't want to stop at a doctor and spend money and get this Veruca removed. Yeah. So I was it was just wrecking my head. Anyway, so I went into this hot spring, didn't even think about it. But sometime later in the evening, I went, my Veruca's gone.
Wow.
It was just gone.
Maybe they should set it up as the new Lourdes for Veruca's.
Man, it was like a miracle. It made me think maybe holy water isn't just holy water. Maybe it's sulfurous, and that's why it cures things.
Did you know that Novak Djokovic thinks he can change the physical nature of water through his mind?
Well, he is a cunt.
Yes, that needed to be said. That boil needed to be lanced. What a fucking, yeah.
Here's my language. Shooter. I have to apologize to everybody. I have to do an intro to this now, Mike. I'll have to say that there might be some C words in this one. Oh, let's just keep calling everybody a cunt and then just have it as the episode where we say cunt a lot. And I can just call it that. And then I don't have to do an intro. Yeah, where we say cunt a lot.
That's very good though. Novak Djokovic.
Yeah, very good. So he's now saying that he had COVID. That's why he was allowed in. And now all these pictures are emerging of him the day he had COVID. Like he just got and there's no mask, walking around shaking hands with young people, just going, yeah, I've got COVID here. Have some.
Yeah, he was launching his Serbian stamps so that kids could send letters to Santa Claus.
Was and he licking the stamps for them? This is how you lick the stamp. I will lick your face to show you with my COVID. Holy shit.
Yeah, fucking hell. There's an awful lot of knobbery around, isn't there?
Well, you see, the problem with Djokovic is it's the other people then that are coming out behind him going, fair play to Novak Djokovic for sticking it to the man and all this kind of stuff. It almost like it's making their argument, it's giving them fuel, isn't it? Like it's fueling their ridiculous argument that somehow.
And it's funny, the people that have come out in support of him are like Nigel Farage has come out.
No way.
And, you know, for no apparent reason, he's argued because of Brexit, he wanted an Australian-style immigration point system. So we want to be like more like Australia. We want to be able to control our borders. And the one thing Australia don't seem to be able to do at the moment is control their borders. And then, you know, people have pointed out that, you know, Nigel Farage are all people wanting to be more like Australia, who, you know, keep all the fuzzy-wuzzies out, is fighting for an Eastern European to get into a country.
This is anti-Brexit because it just beggars belief. And a lot of people would have voted for Brexit and would have agreed with him because of all the Eastern Europeans that were coming to England. Yeah. The other thing then is like discrimination. That seems to be a thing, you know. So like fair play to Djokovic, you know, for standing up. It's discriminatory saying that, you know, you can only come into a country if you have this, blah, blah. But they're not talking about Australia with all their like, you know, refugee boats.
Putting them on fucking islands to the north up near Indonesia. Yeah, putting all these people who are, you know, trying to get there for a better life and would, you know, they would, of course, immigrants add to a society, you know, they just, oh, fucking.
But sure, what's the one thing Australia has?
I know.
Loads of fucking room.
Yeah, yeah, criminals. Speaking of which, actually, I got addicted to television, some slow TV last night. I don't know if you're a fan of slow TV.
Yeah, I like a bit of slow TV.
Ghan, is it Railway?
Oh, yeah, the Ghan. Yeah, is that the one in Australia that goes across from Sydney?
It goes right from the bottom up to Darwin.
Darwin, that's it, yeah.
And I was watching that last night, sitting down, and I was interspersing it because it kind of gets a little bit kind of diding, 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 boring. And you're kind of like, okay, there's nothing really happening. This is the desert. There's only so much they can say about the amount of land that's there or whatever. And I was going in between that, and I decided last night to have a crack at the Beatles, Get Back. Fucking hell. That's the one thing I can say about the Beatles is I now know why Linda McCartney went for Paul McCartney. Linda McCartney's milk is great, by the way.
Linda McCartney's milk, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, it's the milk of human kindness. However, his hair.
Great
Paul
hair.
McCartney's hair. Fucking hell. I sat down there last night thinking, I've been kind of shaving my head intermittently throughout lockdowns and sort of convincing myself that going to the barber is a bad idea. And I bought myself clippers and I've, you know, effectively saved the money I would do on a haircut doing my own clippers twice. Right. So I thought, right, I'm ahead of the curve. I'm going to let it grow now. I want soft, silken hair like Paul McCartney.
You've got great hair. You should grow your hair.
Yeah. Like
you've good, thick, lustrous. It would grow lovely.
Problem is then, Paul McCartney's a cunt.
But you're a cunt too, so it's okay. I'm only joking, Mike. I was only joking, Mike. I feel bad now.
No, I don't feel
bad. You absolutely aren't a cunt. But I'm a cunt for saying you're a cunt.
Yeah.
Just have to keep saying cunt. Until it loses all meaning.
Oh, God.
What about, you see, and I think John Lennon was smelly, wasn't he? So they say. He's a bit smelly. He's always at himself, like scratching and, you know.
Yeah, he looked like he needed a good wash.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, like somebody get in his asshole with a yard brush or something. I'd say, you know, there wasn't an awful lot of stuff going on there. But the man was riddled with drugs and stuff. I don't know whether he was on whatever at that stage, but he was, you know, he did have heroin issues later in his life and stuff.
Yeah.
But the big thing about, I don't know if you've seen Get Back.
Not yet, no, but it's on my list.
Yeah, but it's you really need to commit to it. And the opening 3 or 4 minutes were fantastic. He goes through the whole history of the Beatles, and only Peter Jackson can do it, that goes through all the history in like bite-sized chunks. It's really, really clever. And then they get to this mammoth recording that some guy has recorded over the last, but they're in a huge shed. And I don't know whether it's about the winter and I'm watching it at the wrong time of year or whatever, but I felt cold watching it. I felt like, fucking hell, lads, close the doors. There's an awful draft over there. Do you know what I mean? And there's just people milling around. You can see the genesis of some of their songs happening and stuff, which is great. But all I want to hear now is a long version of Don't Let Me Down, because they're singing everything but Don't Let Me Down. I've only watched the first sort of hour. And it's what do you think? And it's really, I mean, they are writing 14 songs in 3 weeks. And then they're going to perform it because they, with people all around them. I mean, not in a studio, like all around, like sitting next to them. So it's kind of, it's impressive, but it's fucking long. It's like 9 hours, isn't it? I just don't know if I have enough love for one Beatles album for 9 hours,
yeah,
on TV.
But I suppose if you're watching that, you said you're watching the what did you call it? What's it called? The Ghan as well. Yeah. So that was, you had the two of them at the same time, where you just,
yeah, and they were very slow television. Both were quite slow. It was either that or The Bourne Identity, which is a film I just love and would watch again and again and again.
It's a good one. So. And did you watch Did you get to the end of the? Did you get to the end of the Gan? Did you get to Darwin? Did you?
No, it was half two. I thought.
Oh shit!
No, it was too late.
No,
it was about one-ish when I decided. Right, but it had changed from all this green, leafy, sort of ever so slightly hilly green, lots of green vegetation with water, to literally nothing but spiky plants and sort of the red interior of Australia. And it did make me want to go back to Australia, apart from the Australians.
The cunts. They're not all cunts. There's a few Irish over there, descendants, not too bad. I've told you I lived in Darwin. And when I say I lived in Darwin, I was there for like, no, I was there for 3 months, I think.
No, I didn't know that. I had a fucked up time in Darwin. I got there, you know, the old Darwin stubby, you know, the Darwin stubby. It's like a fucking 4 gallon beer thing, you know. Yeah, we got no rules up here and this, that, and the other. Very hot. I went to a night market, which was really nice.
Yeah, Darwin is nice, but it's tropic, you know. So people go tropo with the change. There's a tropical season, and people go fucking mental because it's like. There's high pressure, it's too hot, it's raining, there's clouds, there's thunderstorms, there's loads of fucking change going on. People go a bit mental. And also Darwin is a frontier town, you know, it's like, it's the Wild West. It's where people go when they're escaping from something. So they all end up in Darwin, all these crazy people. Was I telling you about this? There was a topless bar in Darwin.
No, you had me at topless though.
And I never went in, and I'm so innocent, such an innocent Irish lad. Like, I'm traveling, I'm doing a year around. I worked across the road from this bar that was between 3 and 6 or something every day. It was like topless, where the women behind the bar literally just took their tops off and their bras off, and that was it. And they just continued to serve the beer, you know.
Okay, so it wasn't like a lap dancing
top. No, it was literally they just took their tops off and just continued, like, it was just carry on as normal, but just no tops. And that was it. But I was so curious, and I never even went in. I kind of felt there was something wrong about it, I suppose.
And there is,
And I didn't want to be supporting it, but I was curious. I wanted to be in, I wanted to go in there. I wanted to see what the clientele were like. I wanted to see what the boobies were like. I wanted to see, but you know, but something kept me back from it. So I don't know whether it was my innocence or maybe I took a stand against that kind of thing.
Like, maybe like you were to tell myself,
I was too woke.
You were woke before it was even a good thing to be.
But Darwin was so, like, we spent 3 months there, and I worked in a bar called Kitty O'Reilly's or Kitty O'Brien's or whatever it was, named after a famous Irish woman who had her top off in a bar in Darwin or something. A famous Irish topless barmaid. I don't think it was named after a famous Irish woman.
Titty O'Brien.
Titty O'Brien, that was it, yes. Done. Podcast over. We're not going to do any better than that. And I worked in there, and there was a lot of drinking. You know, you're working in a bar, you're drinking after work. There was a lot of, like, crazy shit. And I had a bike, so I used to cycle to work. And every night without fail, I ended up in a ditch on that bike.
Oh, fuck.
I used to come home with, like, I'd wake up in the morning with, like, scratches and scrapes and the elbow off myself. But that was just Darwin life, you know what I mean? You tried to cycle home, you ended up in the ditch, you somehow made it the rest of the way home.
Was Suzanne with you at that stage?
Yeah. And she worked in a hotel. So she worked in a hotel called the Mirambina, which is quite a nice hotel. And because she worked there, I was able to use the pool there. It was a nice sort of tropical hotel with a pool. So I was swimming during the day, a bit of sunbathing, then getting absolutely rat-arsed after work at night. But yeah, it was a crazy experience. I met a guy it was the weirdest thing. He had a kind of a drug problem. He was English, but he was kind of my age, but he was into speed.
Oh,
in a big way. And he was taking a lot of speed, and I never really triggered, you know, but like, I worked with him behind the bar, and it was like, he's quite a, you know, quite a extrovert, you know, kind of guy. And then at some point he confided in me that he'd take speed, you know, and he offered me some, you know, and I was like, oh no, I think I'm okay. I'll stick to my drug of choice, the booze. And there seemed to be a lot of drugs, like a lot of people smoked marijuana. A lot of bongs, a lot of pipes, all that kind of stuff.
And then this guy, this English guy on speed, I think he was like the only person. He's like, oh, am I doing some speed? And then I discovered, and I was really, it really freaked me out at the time, but he was injecting. I don't know how, I don't know whether he was cooking it up or what he was doing, but he was injecting speed. And I was like, I remember saying to him, I said, man, I don't think that's a good idea. You know, I don't know what, like, was I trying to be like a drug counselor? I was just this innocent Irish guy going, and you're...
Yeah, I drink my drugs by the pint.
I drink pints. I put vodka in my Guinness. That's as bad as I get. And you inject, I was like, you inject it into you. And he was, he said it makes it works much better if you do that. And I was like, I don't think that's a good idea.
No, that's not a good idea.
No. So I don't know.
Wonder how he is now.
I'd love to. I know I can't remember his name. I wouldn't even know what he looked like. Like we worked together for, you know, these, I think we worked together for 6 months. Yeah. Became kind of friends very quickly. And then I ended up telling him that I don't think injecting speed is a good idea. I don't think injecting anything is a good idea. He's probably an anti-vaxxer now.
Of course he is. Yeah. I'm not having anything by that. I'd buy something off some dodgy geezer in a fucking bar in wherever. Well, I wouldn't take that.
Titty O'Shea's. But, yeah, so I would love to take that train sometime. I would love to go back to Australia and I would love to take that train. I think that would be absolutely
what we should do is
amazing.
A podcast, live podcast at the beginning of the line, get off in Woolgoolga or whatever in the middle, and then do one and then do one at the top.
Yeah.
And get sponsored by Novak Djokovic.
He would
Australian
talk. We could go over his anti-vaxxers and anti-maskers and shoot. Perfect. And we could call our podcast Two Cunts. Two Cunts in Australia. Oh man, I would love to do a show called Two Cunts.
Because we are a pair of cunts.
I'm sorry. You see, in Australia, you could say can't. Or can't. And it's nice
to say that. West Clare is the soft cunt is a classic.
Well, can you?
Oh, absolutely. It is. Yeah, remarkable. Oh, don't cunt.
But you wouldn't say, like, in Australia, they'd say it to you. Say, oh, I can't. Here's a gun. Like, you might say it about somebody in Ireland. Oh, he's an awful cunt. But in Australia, they'll say,
Can I?
Like, it's, like, properly soft cunt. Like,
yeah.
Do you want a beer can? Oh, grab us a beer can. Totally.
Are you sure it wasn't you that was on the speed?
They used to come into the bar and they'd be like, I was like, especially in Sydney when I worked in the bar there, they were so harsh. I worked in East Ryde, which was kind of like the opposite side. It was like the inner city, Sydney. It was the opposite to Bondi. You know what I mean? It was harsh. Yeah, yeah. People lived in high rises, and you know, it was like it was really fucking hot.
Yeah.
I'll grab a beer, mate. I'll grab a beer. I'm like, what? And of course, I'm like, innocent Irish guy. Would you like Victoria Bitter or would you like Toohey's New? Toohey's New or Victoria or VB?
I don't care, mate. As long as it's fucking cold.
Yeah.
I won't be tasting it. Oh, I can't.
Fucking East Ryde. But listen, I need to tell you about, I need to do a thing with you. So you know the way you did it before with James O'Brien, you nicked something from his podcast and we did it. So there's a podcast I'm listening to. I'll tell you about this podcast first. Chatterbix, right?
Who?
Chatterbix is the name of the podcast.
Chatterbix.
Yeah, it's really good. They're not all great, but this one in particular, David Carroll and Joe Wilkinson, the guys from Afterlife. Joe Wilkinson, you'd know from, he's the comedian, the scruffy comedian with the long hair and the beard. And he's on 9 out of 10 cats and
8 out of 10 cats, maybe.
Yeah. 8 out of 9 cats. 8 out of 9, 8 out of 10 cats.
Yes, I know Joe. Yeah, he's very funny. Yes.
Yeah, Joe Wilkinson. So he does it. And Carl, David Carl is the other guy in it. And he is the guy with the beard and the long hair in Afterlife, who's a real.
Oh, yes. They come from the stable of Gervais. Yes.
Yeah, real dirty.
Need a good wash, the pair of them.
Yeah, horrible.
Yes.
Anyway, so David Carr and Joe Wilkinson, the two comedians, do this podcast called Chatterbix. And they interview James Acaster in a Christmas special, which is a couple of episodes old now, but it's really good. Really good. Was I telling you about James Acaster? Yeah, I was.
You were. I thought he was American. You said he was English.
Yeah. He's English, yeah. Did you check him out in the meantime?
No, I didn't.
To check it out. So check it out. Chatterbix.
Chatterbix, okay.
Excuse me, to like clear my throat. I'll edit that out later for the cunts. So, David Carr and Joe Wilkinson. And then that brought me on to listen to a podcast I'd listened to before, but I didn't quite get it. I didn't quite like it at the time, but I went back to it. I revisited it. It's called Off Menu with James Acaster and Ed Gamble.
You recommended that to me before.
Yeah, but
I didn't like it.
Yeah, maybe you put me off it.
No, I didn't. I never mentioned it because I thought he's recommended this. I've listened to it and it's shit. So I didn't bring it up.
Can't believe you put me off it. I was really enjoying that podcast. I listened to a few of them and then I was like, I didn't love it. It just didn't catch, you know, like it just happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I went back to it, started listening to it again, and I really like it. Especially the one, it's Off Menu with they talk to I don't fucking remember it now.
Of course you can't.
Some cunt. They just talked to some cunt. Harry Hill.
Oh, yeah.
And Harry Hill is very funny.
He's very funny when he's talking about himself. He's not funny when he's doing comedy, I find.
Oh, I love Harry Hill.
Do you? He's a bit Marmite-y for me. I think the big shirt and the, you know, oh, whatever. Yeah.
He's very
Like his, oh, God, You've Been Framed.
Yeah.
I think he's very good on that.
He's very funny. You said... He was talking at one point about doing an audio version of You've Been Framed, like as if it was a podcast. You go, here's a woman. She's getting up on the slide. She's standing on the slide. Oh, she's falling off and you can see her knickers. Just narrating.
Here's a grandma dancing at a wedding. Oh, you can see her knickers.
Kid walking into a glass screen door with a tray full of drinks.
I've just thought of a way.
That's
actually
very funny. Hang on a second. Harry Hill. On Off Menu. Go on, sorry.
Okay, no, that's okay. I've just thought of a way that we could do some real good PR in Australia, right?
Yeah.
Like on the tail of Novak Djokovic, we could just say that when we go to Australia, we will refuse to use the toilets. So we could be the no jacks. We could be the anti-jacksers.
Oh, yeah. I like it. Yeah, we don't use toilets. We piss on the street, man. We're like two cunts going around pissing and shitting in Australia, not using the jack.
And Scott Morrison will be following us around with toilet roll. I hate those anti-jacks.
No, you can't. Here's some toilet paper. You can't. Use a fucking toilet, you fucking.
Use a dunny.
Use a daddy. You fly him and go, ah. Ah. You can't.
Oh, Jesus.
So they also do one with Jack D, which is worth checking out, because D is very funny.
Yes.
And miserable he's very fuck. Funny yeah, in this, because he's not being the miserable fuck that... He's very funny. He plays up to the miserable guy, especially on that show that we used to watch, Shooting Stars, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Again, not a massive fan of Shooting Stars, but I have been absolutely entranced and enchanted by BBC Four do a program called Walking With.
Okay.
And Walking With Jim Moore.
I saw the one, the priest, the guy who used to be in the Communards.
Reverend Richard Coles. Yeah.
Loved it.
Taped it. Yeah.
That's real slow TV, isn't it?
That's fact. It's they do a walk and they've got a 360 thing and they talk to people. What's your dog called? You know, sort of it's just sublime television.
That sounds like the exact program I want to watch.
Alistair Campbell did one. It was really deep into his mental health and his two brothers had died. I never realized. I mean, it was just, it's so sad, but well worth a look. If you can series link it on something, they keep popping up and lots of people, you don't know who they are. There's a DJ on, I think, the BBC Asian network thinking, oh, this is going to be a load of shit. And it was just so interesting. So hugely interesting, and he was just so chilled and sort of walking along, and he kind of had that 90s kind of look about him, like you do, that sort of, you know, the kind of parka and the sort of the nice clean shoes, that sort of look, and he's out for a walk. All right, geezer. And he's a bit of a geezer.
Where was he walking with his shoes? He was just walking around town.
No, he went on a big walk, but he was like, I don't change my look for anything, sort of thing, you know. It was just kind of
It's like walking over the moors in this winkle pickers.
Yeah. I'm very much of that sort of ilk nowadays. I don't dress up to go for a walk or anything.
You're not? No,
I used to put on
leggings and shorts.
You wear tights. Fucking hell. I don't know what that's all about. That's wrong.
It's comfortable. And then I can just take them off and I get home and have a shower and they're not like my normal trousers dirty, you know?
Yeah.
Do you change your shoes?
No. Bought a pair of shoes yesterday, actually. I just wear the same shoes all the time.
Well, that's the thing. I have very white runners. I'm not going to wear them walking, traipsing around the Curra. I'd love to do. How could I do that? I should do that on the Curra, walking with Keith Walsh, just with a selfie stick.
You'd need to buy one of those 360 selfie GoPro things. It's really clever as well, because when they point the camera down, you can see your hand like in the fist position.
Yeah.
But you can't see anything. The software on it must just get rid of the stick.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Yeah.
It is just fascinating. Yeah, you could do walking in white shoes.
Walking through shit.
Walking through farmyards.
A cunt on the Curra. And you could do a cunt in Clare.
Yeah.
Two cunts, two Clare.
And two cunts in Clare.
Two cunts, two Clare. Anyway, so the premise of this podcast, off menu.
Okay.
Just getting back to it.
Check
out the Jack D one. Okay. Check it out. So they have to come in. It's a virtual restaurant, an imaginary restaurant, and they say they pick their favorite of each course in the restaurant. So they start off still or sparkling. So let's do it together.
Welcome to my
restaurant. Let's kick it off still or sparkling.
Oh, Mike? Still.
Still, why?
Don't like the burpy liciousness and the taste. Again, you get that sort of the carbonated water gives you a little bit of feedback, and you get that sulfur for the second time today. You get a little bit of sulfuriness and the bitterness off of sparkling water, which I don't sit right. I find it gives me a hangover.
Yeah, I heard that sparkling water wasn't good for you because the CO2 wasn't good in your stomach, but Jack D says he always goes for sparkling water, and he says because he has indigestion, he has little cans of Perrier sparkling water, like in his glove box, in his bag, wherever he goes, he has a little can beside his bed. If he gets a bit of indigestion, he drinks this Perrier water, sparkling water, and it settles his stomach. And I've never heard that before.
No, I have never heard that. And I get a little bit of indigestion myself these days.
Try it. If you try the Perrier water, if you go to a restaurant, would you ask for a bottle of still or would you get the tap water?
Tap water.
Why?
Because I think it's just ridiculous to pay an awful lot of money for something that's come out of the ground, an aquifer somewhere, and all you're doing is getting it out of a tap. It's just two ways of delivery.
Yeah.
One is opening a tap. It's less stuff on the environment. You think of the weight of the glass bottle. That's going to be flown in from somewhere. Think of the air miles of delivering water to an already sodden country. You know, I can't see the logic in that at all.
It's intriguing because we have a filter. We have a water filter here in the house, you know, so we have filtered water. The water just goes through a little machine that's under the sink and it comes out as filtered water. So it's fine. You know, you can drink it. Why don't restaurants just get that little tap?
Because you shouldn't drink filtered water.
Why?
If you're filtering your water because it's hard, is your water hard?
My water's a bit of a cunt, but it's not hard.
It's more Vinnie Jones than Boston.
Get off in it.
Well, you see, they run it through salt, which softens it.
Yeah.
That's why there's two things. There's a filtration system. And then there's a softening system. And if it's a softening system, because then, you know, if you didn't have a water softener in your house, you would notice that things lime scale up and your washing doesn't get any sort of suds in it. And you can use as much stuff as possible.
Happens a lot in Athlone in the Midlands. For some reason.
Yeah. You should not drink softened water.
Okay.
Because you're taking salt in.
Okay.
Yeah. Let that be something for people.
For some,
there are other softeners available that don't use salt, but don't. As a general rule, you shouldn't drink softened water. But if you're filtering it for, I don't know why you'd be filtering your water.
To make it nice, take all the shite out of it. Take the iron out of it. Take the what's the stuff that the government put into us to make us all fucking obey.
Lots of things. Yeah, they put through. But you're probably putting it, I don't know why you're putting it through a filter. You're taking the iron. Iron isn't gonna do anything for you.
No, I need iron actually. Yeah, I don't know. It just takes any of the dirt. If there's any dirt in there. Cleans it up.
I think that's a sort of
E. coli.
No, it wouldn't get, unless it's an ultraviolet filter, it's not going to get rid of E. coli.
Oh, really?
Yeah. E. coli is like, you get these particulate matter filters, so you go down to PM1, PM2, PM3 and whatever, and stuff, sort of sieve, so, you know, and it just filters out particulate matter. E. coli is, it's a water, you know, it's a disease. It's not going to...
It's a wizza-wazza. It's not... You can't put it. You can't take it out with a sieve.
If you went down to that sort of filtration, you probably wouldn't get the water molecules through. You know, it's that. You know,
okay. So there's no point in having water filtered water. Mm-hmm. If anybody listening now can think of a reason to have filtered water, please email the podcast. Keith Walsh.
My parents do, and I don't understand that they put it through a Brita filter.
Yeah,
and I think they're doing it that through that for the kettle getting lined up.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, the easiest way to deal with that is put a marble in your. And you're
up your jacksie,
right up
a marble up the jacksie,
okay. A big one, a dauber,
a gully, a gushy. I think that's something else. Stick a marble up your ass, basically. That's what. So you would go for still water in the restaurant, and you don't want it filtered either. Just the fucking give me the shit. Okay, poppadoms or bread.
Depends what you're having. I mean, if it's sort of
You can have whatever you want.
You haven't decided what kind of a restaurant it is.
Yeah, but this is the thing. So, this is the beauty about this podcast is you could have an Indian starter, you could have like a spaghetti bolognese for main course. You can have whatever you want. You can have your favorite meal and all the, you know, poppadoms, and then it could be a curry or whatever. Or you could just go, well, actually, I just like poppadoms, but then I'm going to have like lasagna for the main course. So it doesn't have to be a set. It's just your favorite bits of each, elements of each. So what's your favorite starter? Would you prefer bread or poppadom if it came bread. Down to it?
Bread.
What kind of bread?
I would like some sort of like, and this is a word often used by Australians who really mulligan it, artisanal. I like an artisanal loaf of bread.
Yeah, bit of artisanal.
Not sourdough, because the crust is too crusty.
Mm-hmm.
A softer, thick crust, white or brown, seedy kind of bread.
Okay, just a few seeds in there. You wouldn't like olives in there, or you know, you wouldn't like an oily bread with olives or not
a focaccia,
sun-dried tomatoes.
Not a focaccia sort of Italian bread. I would rather a sort of a bread that you could wipe up olive oil or a bit of balsamic vinegar with. That type of bread, you know, that sort of thing. Not necessarily butter.
Would you like that? Did you say focaccia?
I do like focaccia, but you know, there's a time for focaccia. Focaccia is more of a meal, you know. You would have it on the side of your plate with your dinner and have a load of little things like a mezze.
Okay.
You dip it into your hummus and have it with your olives and stuff like that, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, okay. I like that. I like the dip. I like the balsamic and the oil and a bit of salt.
Oh yeah,
a little bit of salt.
Yeah. This is Dream TV. Yes, I would. Yeah,
I yeah. Whatever, you can have whatever you want. You know.
Yeah,
I mean, I know you're being very
load of salt.
I know you're being very careful at the moment. So this is like, just go for it, Mike. Go for it.
Oily bread, oil dipped in oil bread. Sort of like that soft bread. When you rip it, it kind of it's like spongy. Almost.
Yeah.
Soaks up.
Are we talking like a BAP almost?
No. It's not baguette. It's more it wouldn't be a BAP. It would be like a little loaf.
A loaf, yeah.
Like a loaf that's cut into slices, that sort of bread, more than an individual. I don't like those little rolls you get because they're always disappointing.
Yeah, they're kind of like mass-produced fucking...
Yeah.
You throw about 15 in the oven and then lash them out. And yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I do like a blah.
The blah, but for something else.
Blah, normally you'd have a fried egg in it.
Yeah, a brah with a bra.
Yeah, a bra with a fried egg.
I used to go to this bar in Darwin, they take their blahs off. 3 o'clock.
And have a pair of fried eggs.
Hey, you put your fried eggs back in the fucking blah, you can't.
Please. Get your baps out for the kids.
Oh, lads. Okay, cool. That's good. So you're having bread. You've had some water. Are you... let me think. Okay, so starter.
Oh, I thought the bread was kind of the startery type of thing.
No, you're going to have a starter as well.
Fucking hell. Okay, yeah. In that case, I probably wouldn't have the bread. I would have a starter. Because I find the bread situation that you get at a wedding and you do get that dip kind of thing is there because you're going to be waiting a long time for the next course.
Yeah, to keep you going.
My favorite restaurant, I'm having tap water. I would order tap water, but I would also have a beer probably at this stage.
So beer as soon as you get in.
Yeah, fuck it, yeah.
Straight away, beer.
And water.
Bring me beer and water. Thank you.
Yeah. And just if you see that beer emptying, because I'm out. If you see that beer emptying, you give the lady a tenner and you say, that beer empty? It's not empty. Okay. Thank you very much.
Empty beer. No.
No. No, no, no,
you
no.
You see
no.
Beer empty? Have not empty beer.
No, 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 no.
No, no, yeah. No.
Then I think I would have some tempura vegetables.
As a starter.
Yeah, with a nice. dipping sauce.
Like sweet and sour sauce?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'd have probably a sweet and sour chili sauce. You'd have a soy sauce.
Nice.
You might have some sort of straight chili. You might have a sort of a mango-y type of chutney along with it.
Mm.
Anything to sort of make that really puffed, light tempura. Sing, you know? Oh.
Mike, you describe it so beautifully. I went into, myself and my son took ourselves off to have lunch in a place in Nace called the Lemongrass. It's a Thai sort of, but / international play, yeah. You know. So we went in and had lunch and we had the bento box.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Talk me through it.
Well, I mean, it's literally, instead of a plate, you get a box. And it's got compartments in it. So it's like, it's got four squares on the outside and then sort of a circular ball space in the middle. And then there's a ball on top and then there's stuff under the ball as well. So you've got like noodles in one compartment. Mm-hmm. You can basically order what you want. So it's like the bento box. You can have like tempura prawns. You have tempura veg. You've got like little bits of places, dipping sauces. You can have some miso soup if you want in the bowl or whatever you want. You've got some soya sauce in there. You've got some veg. You've got some, it's just a little bit of everything. And it comes in a lovely box and it's not too much.
Yeah. Is that all you had?
Yeah, we had the bento box, and then for some reason I just said, "Oh, because I'm Irish, we'll have chips as well." We didn't even eat the chips. We were just like, it was enough. We're just stupid. But that was it. The bento box. It was like it was 4 or 5 compartments, and even in one compartment, it kind of had a little starter, fruit starter, like so. There was like strawberries and melon and stuff like that. So you kind of have that first, and then you get into the noodles, and then you've got
they can keep that chip.
The fruit, no, you wouldn't, yeah. You no, wouldn't be, no, wouldn't
no.
Be a fruit man.
Doesn't, no, no, no. I would never willingly buy fruit in a restaurant.
Okay, but you'd have fruit at home. You eat fruit, do you? If you had to.
Kind of under duress, yeah. I force myself to have a
mandarin. Would your wife hold you down and shove a banana in your mouth?
Oh, no, it follows the marble, the dauber.
A banana up the jacks.
Two daubers and a banana.
I just need the space. In one go. Turn the Hoover on backwards. yeah, I like a bit of fruit. I like a bit of fruit with food.
No.
So you wouldn't be like, wouldn't be a pineapple. Pineapple on your
don't
pizza.
Don't get me wrong.
Right?
Pineapple pizza is, I've no issue with that. I don't see what the issue is. And I've no issue with what people eat. You know, a lot of people out there have got issues. There's nothing else in their life. You know, don't ask me the question about pineapple on your pizza. You know, if somebody wants to have pineapple, I'm not going to eat it. Yeah. Or I might eat it, but you know, I don't really have a strong opinion.
Don't really put in or out on me what someone decides to put in their mouths, like, you know, or up their arses.
Yeah.
Do you what about like raisins and curry and stuff like that? And
no, a raisin must be eaten out of the packet in the mouth, straight in, dried as a dried fruit.
Oh, you don't throw it into anything like a curry,
it's acceptable in a cake, but when you put them into a curry and they kind of expand.
Plump.
And then you get them in your mouth. It's like, it reminds me of one of those things from I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, when they're crushing the fish's eyes in them, and they go, and this boom, there's this explosion of sweetness. No, yeah. My mother used to pretend to make Indian curries. They were fucking foul. God bless the woman.
That was the problem, not the rest of it. The rest of it.
But she used to fuck loads of these things, and they were horrible. They'd swell up like they were just about to explode. And the second you got them, and then you get this sweetness in your mouth, and it was just wrong. It was absolutely wrong.
Not more to do with what the fucking curry was made of? Like,
it was foul.
How was she making the curry? Was she getting curry powder? She used to make
big curries, and we were reared in Slough, so all of our local shops were all Indian shops. So her spicing was right up there, but she just couldn't. It became, and she couldn't get away from the Irish stew part of a curry.
She was thrown in an OXO cube.
Literally. Anything to sort of sweeten it up. And, you know, God forbid any chili was involved or whatever. And she's like, then lads, they like a lot of salt. And she would fucking salt in it. Don't have pepper. And she put white pepper in. And white pepper's quite,
Not a fan of the white pepper.
No.
So far, you're having tempura veg with the dippings,
yes.
And you're having a beer. You've already said a beer because I was going to ask you about drink separately, but you've said beer. Are you having other drinks then as well?
No,
no wine.
No,
you wouldn't have a little flute of sparkling or something. You know,
definitely not. The most overrated drink on the planet is any wine that is sparkling, be it red or white.
Oh, I like I like sparkling. I like a little. I like a dry, really dry prosecco or cava. I would drink that. No. I would drink that I wouldn't even put it in a wine glass. I would just drink it
out of the bottle,
like a pint.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, it does give you a bit of a buzz, but I don't find the taste of it goes with anything. My in-laws like red fizzy wine, and it's just too much. There are some English producers of red Proseccos, effectively. They're red champagnes, but they're not. But there's Australian ones. Banrock Station do a very fine, allegedly red sparkling wine. But I just find it's that carbonation. I know they're not really carbonated. They're just going through a secondary fermentation in the bottle. But it just catches in my throat and repeats.
And you're okay with the fizz of a beer then, yeah?
Yeah.
But when it's wine, carbonated wine, no.
No. Different process.
You know? Yeah, okay. They add the fizz to it rather than beer's naturally fizzy.
No. Both of them are naturally fizzy, but it's just a different process. And a beer is easier. Beer is less alcohol and it's more tasty. It's right up my Straza. I just don't like the after effects of red wine. I mean, if I could, I'd have something like a fucking Chateau Margaux 1954 to go with my tempura. But I know I'd be stuck to the toilet for a couple of days afterwards.
The marbles would be shooting out, then breaking the
fly. They would break. Yeah, they break the pottery. Bing! And then the banana, and then the slitter if I was lucky.
Okay, so here we go. This is the big one.
Okay,
main course. I struggle. When people ask me what's your favorite meal, I'm like, I don't have a favorite meal. Just give me a few fucking bits and pieces of this and that. At the moment, I'm eating a lot of because I'm on a health kick, you know. So I'm giving up the sugar and I've given up whatever. I'm trying to eat a lot of vegan, apart from my eggs for breakfast, and I'm eating a curry, which is a bean curry. And I make it well. It's delicious. And I've basically had that for my dinner the last 7 days because I like it so much. But I don't have a favorite. I wouldn't pick it as my favorite meal.
Well, we have a favorite family meal, which I've discussed here before. Our pasta with a tomato sauce that I let go all day and whatever. And then we add mozzarella and cheddar to it later on. And it becomes this sort of It's called pasta with two cheeses. It's very, very easy, very simple. But it's one of those homely dishes, which is our favorite home dish. But I think my favorite dish for, I'm going to say, what year are we now? 2021. I'm going to say 7 years would be, I'm allowed to mention a restaurant. Of course I am. There's a restaurant in Limerick. It's also one in Kilkenny. I think there's one in Cork called Arroy, which means tasty. A-R-O-I. And they do Thai Malaysian street food.
Nice.
And their tofu is exceptional. And people say, oh, fucking tofu. And they don't understand. When tofu is done well, it is fucking off the charts. And this dish they do down there is just fucking delicious. I mean, delicious. It's tofu with like mange tout and asparagus. It's kind of rich, you know, and I would have it with a crispy lotus salad. You know, when they cut the lotus plant, if you're aware of a lotus plant, they cut
no.
it, and it when they cut it, not lengthways, the other way, sideways, let's say, like a cucumber, but it's got this
into coins.
Yes, and it looks like when they deep fry it, it looks like it's a sort of a wheel is left behind, like with spokes and whatever, and it just goes like a crisp. And these are then sautéed in a little bit of soy sauce and lemongrass and lemon juice and lime juice with some Thai basil and whatever. And that salad with a bit of chili is fucking outstanding. I had it the night before I went to see you in Limerick. It was the real deal clencher. Jim, do you want to go to a one-man show? Yeah. Whereabouts? Limerick. I'll come if we can go to Arroy. Okie dokie. And he has the Jai Khao Pad, which is a sort of fried rice, effectively. With a little bit of tofu in it, and he loves it. And you get that really burned Asian-y kind of, it smells like Asia when you walk in, you know. Wow. And it's just, they do curries, they do meat and fish and everything, but they're vegetarian stuff. They have a really good understanding of vegetarian food.
This is a bad idea. I'm fucking starving, man.
So am I. Absolutely fucking starving.
I'm really sorry. I apologize to you, to the listeners. When we said we were a pair of cunts, we meant it. This is a horrible thing to do to anybody. That sounds absolutely... I'm actually thinking, when can I jump in the car and travel to Cork or Limerick or Kilkenny next? I'm actually going to go there. Sounds amazing.
It's stunning, and it's like a 10 or 11 quid a plate. And if you go there at lunchtime, they give you free ice cream.
No way.
Yeah.
Fucking.
And I eat that with a Coke because I always end up driving. And I'd eat that with a Coca-Cola and it's just fucking lovely. And I always ask them to just pare back on the chili a little bit because Thai people do like a lot of chili.
Yeah.
And I'm not into the lot of chili. And the night before I went to see you, in fact, I forgot because we were in a bit of a hurry and I said, I forgot to do the old.
Say, hold back on the chili.
And actually, the back of my teeth started to burn so hot.
Ooh.
And it didn't sort of subside till about halfway through your play. And bearing in mind, I had wanted to go early, so I went to the wrong theatre in Limerick.
Oh, yeah.
So did you.
I did.
Yeah, they put fucking... thank you. Limehouse, thank you very much. Great theatre and everything. But they put Limehouse on top of it.
Yeah.
I went up to the Mary Eye campus, to the big Limehouse Theatre.
Same.
Not none here tonight. I said, no, but yeah, it says it on the ticket, but it's not here. It's on the bell table, actually. And it was like, the bell table presents Lime Tree Theatre. And it's like, you fuck. So we literally ran into the actual bell table in Limerick. And luckily, I didn't need a piss or anything because I would have had to walk right past you. There was no exit from that. When you come up the stairs there, you know where Emma Langford was sitting?
Yeah, that's it. That was the only way out.
That's the only way out. And you were encroaching on that space. And I was thinking, oh, my God, now if I need a piss, he's going to think. I don't know what he's going to think.
Just walked out on me.
Yeah.
I did the exact same. I went to the Limehouse and then probably met the same security guard.
Yeah.
And I said, "Is
where's the bell table? And just like horrible, I don't know.
Not here. Yeah.
You know, like he did eventually muster up the energy to tell me where it was. But, you know, you know the way when you say that, you want the person to be like, oh, sure, loads of people make that mistake all the time. It's really
confusing. He was really like that with us. he said, this is a shit show. Like, this is fucking ridiculous. People coming up here all the time. And sure, he wouldn't come up here. It was pitch black, and it was the most unnavigable car park up in Mary Eye. Could you go through? And he said, where have you parked? Did you come through a barrier? I said, I did. Oh, fuck it. He said, I have to go back in now and let that barrier up.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And it was like, oh, fuck it. I'm sorry to ruin your evening, but I got to get to the fucking that place now in 4 minutes.
And my teeth are on fire.
Literally having driven past the door of it. I mentioned it. I said, Jimmy, the theatre we're going to is the sister of that one there, the Bell Table.
No,
and the last time I was in the Bell Table was with a girlfriend I had in 1984, and she took me to the ballet, and it was shit, and I've never been to the ballet since.
Is that the one you fell asleep at?
No, I don't think I fell asleep at the ballet. No,
someone else.
I couldn't fall asleep at the ballet because it was in the Bell Table, and it's a very small.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were boom, boom, and these weren't exactly like, I want to say all sorts of Russian names. They were quite big.
They were making a lot of noise landing, were they?
Yes. Yeah. An awful lot of.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't look. It's not as elegant then when you can hear them.
No.
And they were wearing big Doc Martens as well, which is hard to do a ballet in the Doc Martens.
It is. Yeah, yeah. And the thing I don't like about ballet is you can see the men sweating a lot.
Yeah. Especially around the crotch area, like when it's dripping. That's bad. That sounds like a really nice starter. So,
that was my main.
That's your main. Oh, yeah, your main. Sorry. So, are you a dessert guy? I know you're a dessert guy. Yeah.
Yes.
Or as they call them, or as they say in England, a pudding.
Well,
would you have a pudding? No?
Well, it depends where you're from.
Okay.
North of Watford, pudding. South of Watford, dessert.
Dessert.
Yeah. I would say.
Afters.
After eights. Oh. They got that campaign really badly wrong this year, didn't they?
Didn't they?
After eights, when the fun begins. It's like, and the pub's empty.
They should have capitalized on that. So
they should have done. Yeah.
You know, after eight. After eight, go home and eat some chocolate.
Yeah, there you go. So my dessert would be, I would go straight back to Northcote Road in southwest London near Clapham Junction to a place called Buonasera. And their main course is probably my second all-time favorite, the primavera pasta. They do this springtime pasta dish with all the spring vegetables. Oh, Jesus. And their garlic bread is just phenomenal. If anybody lives in southwest London, they should go to Buonasera. If you've got access to it, go.
Garlic bread.
I know, they make traditional garlic bread. So it's a very thin pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Really nice. Thin. And it comes out with a wet tomato sauce.
Oh, yeah.
And with raw garlic through it. It's just.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost like a poppadom. It's so thin.
But it's kind of like a pizza then as well, is it? Like a
so
very thin.
Thin
pizza.
So thin. You can get a pizza in this place, but a different dough. They go, oh. But their tiramisu.
Oh.
As you know what tiramisu means, obviously, in Italian.
Tell me. Educate me, Mike.
Tiramisu.
Get your tits out.
That's titamazoo.
It means cheer me up, does it?
No, pick me up.
Pick me up.
Prick me up. Pick me up. Tiramisu. Yeah. They have a lovely soft tiramisu.
Tiramisu is a coffee, is it? Is it a coffee?
Well, you see, there's a lot of ways.
What is it?
It's got sponge fingers in it. You dip the sponge fingers in coffee, filtered coffee, and you put amaretto in it.
Amaretto, that's it.
And then you make amaretto cream. And you put mascarpone cheese, and then you put dark chocolate on top, and it should be wet. An awful lot of tiramisus you get these days are dry. They're more spongy biscuits. That's wrong. wrong. In fact, my wife, in fact, I'm going to change my mind. My wife's tiramisu.
Ooh, now, off, Sally Ann.
Off the scale.
If you're listening to this, he does love you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, she, your tiramisu.
No, she loves me through food.
She shows you her love for you through the dishes she makes for you. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I think the listener would have got that. From
no, I just wanted to clarify. She loves you through food. So.
No, and in fact, we got an air dryer.
An air fryer.
Air
get the, yeah. Get that fucking air dry in there, will you? Fucking wet air.
It's changed our lives. Anyway, that's another thing. Yeah. Nobody tells you about these things.
Well, I told you about it.
You did, but you didn't, you just didn't sell it to me.
Yeah, well, I couldn't think of, like, I was thinking of what I cook in it, and I think, probably what I cook in it is shit. Like, it's not probably going to be attractive to other people. Like, this morning, Finn wanted sausages, so I threw the sausages into the air fryer, and he wanted rashers, and he's very specific. He wants streaky rashers, but he wants them done American style, so they're like crisp, like they're long. Yes.
They're stiff,
long things that you can eat almost like as a bar. He wants them done that way. And the air fryer is perfect for that. So you get the streaky rashers and you kind of almost burn them and they come out and they're the American style bacon. Yes. Tell me about anyway, the meal is done. Good job.
Okay.
Let's move on. Tell me about your air fryer.
Oh, right. Well, you mentioned it on this podcast and you told me like it's not buying a car, just go and buy one.
Yeah.
But in fact, it is like buying a car because there are so many different types of air fryer. And, you know, an air fryer is not just for, you know, I live my life now, what I purchase. What would Greta think? What would Greta Thunberg think? So I went out and bought something that actually it dehydrates stuff as well. So you can make sunblush tomatoes in this.
Oh.
You can dehydrate your vegetables. You could dehydrate a banana and have a dried banana. You know what I mean? You could just sort of like, you know, get that sweetness.
I've seen people dehydrate their veg and then like, and you obviously can store them for a lot longer then, can't you? No?
I don't know whether you can store them. I mean, I oven bake, if we have a glut of tomatoes, I would oven bake a load of them. With oil and garlic and whatever, and then just put them into a freezer bag and fuck them in the freezer bag for, and then you've got this like almost immediate pasta sauce that you can bring out, you know, lovely tomato rich sauce that you can just zzz, and zzz. Lovely on a
delicious.
Bit of pasta.
So what delicious. are you dehydrating the veg for? Just to eat, experimenting.
Yeah, you can make sort of you can fry it so that you can make like crispy kale.
Oh, nice.
Like, you know, they do that in Chinese restaurants and they call it
Conti kale.
They desiccate kale and fry it in soy sauce and call it seaweed.
Oh, okay.
You know that sweet seaweed you get in there?
Yeah, that's not
seaweed.
Okay.
I'm going to desiccate some tomatoes to make them sunblush.
Sun-dried tomatoes.
Yeah, no, sunblush, like not like sun-dried, sunblush. Okay. Like, there's a specific you can get. And
that was a joke Jack D made, actually. He said, I have to tell you, my son, he dries tomatoes.
You broke up?
No, that was the joke.
He dries tomatoes.
I ever tell you about my son, he dries tomatoes. But that's the joke, and he just leaves it. It's like,
I didn't get it. Oh, fuck, I'm stupid. I do like it, though. Yeah, I do love a bit of Jack D.
So Jimmy Blush Tomatoes.
Yes. of course, Sally Ann couldn't help herself last night. We were having our Saturday night dish, which was the pasta with our two cheeses and a tomato sauce. But she decided, in fact, she'd just get a couple of, because we bought this thing yesterday afternoon and we got in the house about 5 o'clock. I said, listen, I'm going to light the fire and go and have a shower and I'll come back down. Came back down to a plate of chips.
Oh, nice.
Hand cut chips.
Lovely.
Fuck me, they're good. They're really, really, really good. Soft and powdery on the inside and dry, crispy on the outside. This thing does them in 10 minutes. And then I bought some onion bhajis. She fucked them in for 2 minutes and made a raita. Oh.
What's a raita?
Raita is, it's, oh, it's, oh, oh. It's, it's, I'm trying to think of the word.
Is
it's
it got yogurt? Yogurt, yeah, yeah.
Yogurt. But there's a quick way to do it, cheats way to do it. Mint sauce. You know, you buy mint sauce in a jar, spoonful of mint sauce into a little pot of yogurt, spin it round, instant raita. Dip your bhajis in.
Oh, dip your bhajis in there.
Oh,
oh, dip your bhajis in my raita, Mike.
Yeah. Mm. Dip your slitter in my raita. Cunts.
Yeah, pair of cunts. Mike, I feel like there's stuff that you wanted to talk about.
No.
And I hijacked the podcast.
That's great. I do. What I want to say is watch, don't look up.
Don't look up.
Yes.
You watched the rest of it.
I watched the rest of it. It gets better. It's just such a take on American politics and the press. It's brilliant. Mm. It's genius.
Yeah, I loved it.
I wouldn't watch it again.
No.
I mean, you get it. It's like watching a cartoon. That's what it's like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah. It's, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just a bit of light fluff, but it's got a message and it's good and it's worth watching.
It's and it's really everything's over exaggerated. It's like children's TV.
Overblown.
Yeah.
Over the top.
Really clever.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, I liked it. And it's funny. There's just some very funny parts in it. Some very funny lines. Subtle,
but funny. As a brick.
I really liked that. I was trying to think of something that I watched. I told you about The Witcher. I was watching The Witcher.
Yes. Yeah.
Finished watching The Witcher.
The man is in it, Cavill.
Henry Cavill, is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah, he's good.
I watched him on Graham Norton being interviewed.
Ooh.
Dull as ditch water, but you know,
it looks beautiful. Yeah, that's all you want. The Witcher. And did I watch something else that I want to talk about? No, that's it, Mike. If you've any
one more, check it out.
Do it.
BBC Sounds, get the app. Don't be silly. The coming storm. For those of you who want to find out about Clinton, Trump, QAnon. Everybody's interested. Everybody's heard about QAnon, but nobody knows anything about it. This guy goes into it. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
I started listening to it yesterday. So
Very, very clear. It gets even, you know, we memed this election. That's what one of the sentences. We memed it. Group of lads, group of young fellas with no girlfriends.
Mm.
Dictating world politics.
Mike, dare I say, cunts.
Bunch of, definitely.
And not in the Australian friendly way.
No.
Absolute cunt.
You want a QAnon with that cunt?
Hey, you should listen to this cunt. It's about a bunch of cunts. See, you can mean two different things.
Yeah.
It's called The Coming Storms on BBC Sounds.
Yes. Brilliant. And lest we forget, hashtag Wordle.
Oh, Wordle. Did you do it today?
No.
Tough one today?
They're tough every day.
But sometimes, do you have a word that you start with every time? No. I spent a lot of this morning thinking of a word to start with.
Yeah.
So before I even put in my first word, I'm like, maybe I might start with blast this morning. That's a good word, isn't it? Blast.
It's interesting. I started with black for 2 days and metal for 2 days.
Wow.
They both stood to me, but, you know, but they would. They've got an E and an A and an A and an O and an I and an E. You know, there's very few words without vowels. But what gets you is sometimes the letters are repeated. That's very cheeky, very, very cheeky.
And they don't tell you. They need to find a way of telling you that. But, blast probably wasn't a good one because that's a lot of consonants. I need to think about that. And then clash is another word I use. A lot of consonants. So I need to rethink. I need more vowels in my starting word.
Yes. Pleat. PLEAT.
Cunty.
I can't.
I can't. Okay. Okay, Mike, thanks very much. Have a good day.
And you.
The day ahead is yours. Make it over what you will.
Yeah, the rest back of your to work. Back to work tomorrow after 12 days off. Yeah.
Have you got the fear?
Kind of, yeah.
How many days are you working for?
Three.
Three in a row. Not too bad.
And then two off, then three on.
And then are you back then?
That's No, back on a 3-day week. So, yeah, got a lot of time off at the end of the month as well. Might join you on your 100 days of no booze, actually, for a limited period.
I'm going to do
18 days of no booze.
Just nip in, have a little visit.
Yeah, well, I might do, actually.
Yeah, because,
Yeah.
Do 18 days, 18 out of 100.
Yeah, like a Wordle. 18, 106.
Mike.
Good luck.
Take care.
Love you. Miss you.
I still can't bring myself to say I love you, Mike. You know, it's weird, you know.
I don't know why. It's okay.
All right, see you, Cam. I forgot to press record.
Oh, you knob.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.